إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session, reading from the final chapters of the classical work of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyah. And the topic that we're discussing is what has been entitled Tariqat Ahli Sunnah Al-Amaliyah, yani the way of Ahli Sunnah in actions, as opposed to Tariqat Ahli Sunnah Al-Aqadiyah, yani the contrast between the way or the manhaj, the methodology of Ahli Sunnah in creed and in actions. Yani what we are talking about here are the actions. And we mentioned previously that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, after discussing the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in length in this book, at the end he addressed the issue of the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in terms of their actions. And these are two chapters that we're going to look at. The first of them is relatively short and the second one is a little bit longer. And by the way, before I go any further, I want to mention that 2 weeks ago we said that in just two small pages, the first chapter of this book, the text of the first of these two chapters, has been, you know, highlighted in just two small pages, yani about four paragraphs. And I still would like to encourage, yani whoever is willing, to memorize this chapter, yani the text of this chapter, in its entirety. Yani it's relatively brief. So I'm going to repeat that, yani from time to time, and hopefully it will be yani an encouragement for some of us to memorize. Yani we are trying hard to begin to memorize some of the important texts, yani the Quran, the Sunnah, and the important books of the scholars of Sunnah. Is the class online? Naam. Inshallah. Naam. Naam. It's on. Yani tonight, this is our third session, and tonight we want to take the last part of what is mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah as the wasiyah of the Messenger of Allah, the wasiyah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the three things that he mentioned in reference to ittiba', yani ittiba' athar Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa ittiba' sabil as-sabiqin al-awwalina min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. The command, the advice, the instruction of the Prophet ﷺ, when he said in the authentic hadith, "Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa ar-rashidin al-mahdiyin min ba'di." And tonight, inshallah, we want to discuss the end of that particular hadith, or the wasiyah of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, of strictly adhering to, clinging to his sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin, yani that is Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. We want to talk about that, and the Shaykh, yani in the previous session we talked a little bit about the end of this wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as it relates to his command to us to avoid al-muhdathat, yani newly invented matters. And today, inshallah, we want to complete that particular discussion with some of the, number one, some of the dangers and evils of innovation that result from innovation, and also yani the response to two of the shubuhat, the doubtful matters that confuse some people in reference to this topic of innovation. So the Shaykh mentions two of those shubahat, and he responds to them and gives somewhat brief but adequate response to clarify these matters so that a person will not be confused. Before we start today, we want to, as we normally do, review some of the topics we took last week from the question study guide number 2. So the first question being, memorize the ayah from the 9th surah, 100th ayat, surah At-Tawbah. Explain what is meant, what is the murad, the maqsood of the expression as-sabiquna al-awwaluna, and who it refers to. First, memorization of the ayat. Second, what is meant by the expression as-sabiquna al-awwaluna in this ayat, and who does this expression refer to? Okay, who memorized the ayat first? Memorization is important. Muhammad, jazakallah khair.
والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم.
جزاك الله خير. Okay. بارك الله فيكم. This is for our topic, this is an important ayah for our topic, related to our topic. It's very important. It's a foundational ayah. And that's why, sometimes we want to try to memorize some of these ayats, even if we know the meaning, but we want to memorize them so that if we need to utilize it, we can quote it from the Quran verbatim, word for word. Allah says something in the Quran like the meaning of something such and such, and sometimes we don't really get the meaning right. So we want to memorize it. It's very important. Those who are able, we have to begin to memorize. By the way, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, we're going to start a second course in Arabic for hadith, 20 hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for memorization, and studying the grammatical points in those hadith and their meanings and rulings. Not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. So if somebody's interested, please let us know that you're interested to join us. We are trying to begin memorizing with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. What is the meaning of the expression as-sabiquna al-awwaluna? The translation of the ayat. What is the meaning of this ayat? Somebody help us with the translation. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ.
They surpass everyone else.
Okay, those the foremost and the first from amongst the Muhajirin wal-Ansar.
The migrants,
those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Ansar, the people of Medina who helped them, who received them. Naam. And then Allah said what?
Allah is pleased with them.
And they are pleased with him. But there's something else here. سَابِقُونَ أَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. This is very important. And those who اتَّبَعُوهُمْ, those who follow them. This is what we're talking about. اتباع. We're saying اتباع سبيل السابقين الأولين. اتباع. And Allah is telling us in this Quran that these people, the first and foremost from this ummah, that Allah, from amongst the Muhajirin and Ansar, and those who follow them, Allah is pleased with them. And He has أعد لهم, prepared for them gardens underneath which rivers flow. خالدين فيها أبدا. Living there forever. Abiding therein forever. ذلك الفوز العظيم. This is the greatest, the supreme success. This is very important. What is the meaning of سابقين? السابقون الأولون. What is the meaning of the سابقون? Those who surpassed, السابقين, السابقون, the meaning is what? Those who surpassed, who excelled, who exceeded, who outdid others in?
Righteous deeds.
Al-amal al-saliha. And the awwaluna means what? The Shaykh said what?
From this ummah.
The first people of this ummah. The first, al-jil al-awwal, the first people who believed in the message that he brought. Naam. And so this is referring to who? The سابقون أولون من المهاجرين والأنصار is referring to, in general, the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second question: explain the qaida, the principle which mentions the relationship between being near to or distance from the time of an-nubuwa and being upon the truth. The relationship between those who were near to the time of nubuwa and truth and being upon the truth, or those who were further away. What is this principle that the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned? What is the principle now, Abdul Haq?
Father the people are from the period of prophethood,
نعم.
The farther the people are from the truth.
The further the people are away from the period of the prophethood, of the Prophet ﷺ's time, the further they're away from the truth. And likewise,
and the nearer the people are to the period of the prophet, of prophethood, the nearer the people are to the
Nearer the people are to the time of the prophethood, the nearer they are to the truth. This is very important, and really if a person examines it, we will see that the people of the first generation Sahaba, and those who came immediately after the Tabi'un, and those who came, that they were, yani, no doubt closer to the truth. They were upon the straight path. There was less confusion, deviation, corruption, and so on in their time, and the further we get away from that time, we see massive confusion. Naam. Third question. Mention the mistaken, astray saying, view of those who consider the views of Sahaba no better than the views of the of today's people. What is this saying of those people who consider the views of Sahaba no better than the views of people today? Naam, Walid.
Hum
rijalun wa nahnu rijalun. Meaning?
They are men and we are also men.
They are men and we are men. Yani we are the same. We are equal. They are not better than us. What we, the way we see it, is equal to the way they see it. We don't have to listen to what they're saying. We are men like them. And the Shaykh said, this is yani khata'un wa dalal. Yani it is mistaken and it is clear misguidance. Question number 4 mentions six reasons why the sayings of Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in are given precedence over other people's views. Yani we are saying that their views yani are superior and have precedence over others. Why? 6 reasons the Shaykh mentioned, any one of them. Naam.
Iman.
First and foremost, iman. Second thing he mentioned,
knowledge.
Their knowledge is superior to the other people. Third thing he mentioned, naam. That's the last thing he mentioned. Now, no problem. That's the important. Last shaka. Now,
their safe understanding.
Their safe, correct, sound understanding. Their understanding was sound. It was correct, as opposed to the people today's understanding is crooked, corrupted, twisted. Now, 4. At taqwa. Yani their piety, their fear of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and al amana, their trustworthiness. That they carried the amana. Yani when they were entrusted with something, they fulfilled it. Not like the people today. And finally, Abu Bakr said, yani the most important maybe of all of them, yani that Allah has chosen them to be the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani that which they have of suhbah. Yani they were given this special rank and distinction that yani nobody else can achieve. Yani that's closed. Yani maybe knowledge and understanding and things like that, people can talk about, we have good knowledge or whatever, but you can't have suhba, companionship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For these reasons and others, their views are given precedence to others who came after them. Question number 5, memorize the narration mentioned by the author rahimahullah, yani the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, which he describes as the wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is this narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who memorized it? Naam, Abu Musa.
Wasiyatu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said alaykum bi sunnati al-khulafa ar-rashidin al-mahdiyyin min ba'di tamassaku biha wa 'addu 'alayha bin nawajid wa iyyakum wa muhdathatil umur fa inna kulla muhdathatin bid'ah wa kulla bid'atin dalalah.
Naam, mashallah. This hadith reported by the Ashab al-Sunan, Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, Al-Hakim, and so many other scholars. And from amongst the earlier scholars, Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi said the hadith is sahih, and Shaykh Al-Albani from the later scholars also conveyed the yani tasheeh of this hadith from many of the scholars of the past. This is a very important hadith. The meaning of it in brief, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, it is incumbent upon you. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa ar-rashidin al-mahdiyyin min ba'di. It is incumbent upon you, obligatory, mandatory, that you hold to my sunnah and sunnah of the righty guided khalifas from after me. And then he said, tamassaku biha, hold on to it tight. Wa addu alayhi bin nawajiz, and bite upon it. Yani emphasizing the importance of tamassuk, holding tight, adhering to, clinging to his sunnah and sunnah of the righty guided khalifas. He said, bite on it with your molar teeth. And then he warned us, and after commanding us to hold to the sunnah and the sunnah of the righty guided khalifas,
Then he said, and I warn you against newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter in the deen, it is innovation. And every innovation is misguidance, astray. Very important narration, and this is part of the text, yani, of this first paragraph of this chapter that we are studying now. I hope, inshallah, that some of us will memorize it. And من طريقة أهل السنة والجماعة is what? اتباع آثار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم باطنا وظاهرا واتباع سبيل السابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار واتباع وسيرة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حيث قال this hadith عليكم بالسنة. That's the first paragraph. And there are just four paragraphs in this first chapter. Inshallah, if we memorize that one, we have three more shorter ones. Inshallah, good. May Allah grant tawfiq to those who hope. Huh? Have we sent it? I'll send it, inshallah. Naam. I'll send it, inshallah. Tayyib, after this, question number six, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahlul Sunnah strictly follow the Sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas, except if it completed and explained. Naam.
Contradicts or opposes the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Unless it contradicts or opposes the saying or the practice or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مُخَالَفَةً صَرِيحَةً صَرِيحَةً. This is a very important part of what he said. Unless it opposes, contradicts the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a clear contradiction, not a supposed, imagine this looks like it's different. No, clear contradiction. مُخَالَفَةً صَرِيحَةً. Clearly contradicts what the Prophet ﷺ said. In that case, then what? Then we don't adhere to it. What do we do?
We make excuse for them.
Before we make excuse for them, it's obligatory upon us to stick to the view of the Prophet, the position of the Prophet ﷺ. And in that case, we stick to what the Prophet ﷺ said and did, and then we make excuse for the one who fell into this mistake, and we say that this is what? This is ijtihad al-ma'adhur fi. Yani the ijtihad that a person sincerely saw it was right, but they erred, and they excused, they are pardoned from this. And if it happened that one of the khulafa, Rashidin al-Mahdiin, or one of the sahaba, yani, fell into a contradiction from what the Prophet ﷺ has given us, then we take what the Prophet ﷺ has given us and we make excuse for that companion, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And this is a very important principle. If that's the case, then what about if our imam or our leader or our sheikh or our teacher, yani, contradicts a clear contradiction to something that the Prophet ﷺ brought? How can we then follow? The sheikh said it. Our Imam said it. So, even if Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, and Ali said it, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, it's clear. This is our manhaj. This is the tariqah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we don't worship personalities. Question number seven, discuss the qa'idah. Al-aslu fi umur al-dunya al-hil. Yani, what does this mean and what is its significance? Al-aslu fi umur al-dunya al-hil. Naam. The ruling concerning worldly matters, the original ruling, the foundation ruling is that it is permissible. That things in worldly matters are all permissible. Now, this is what it means. And what is the significance then?
Anything that is invented.
Yani, whatever the people come up with new in the worldly matters, it's lawful. That's the original rule, unless illa yadullu dalil ala tahrimihi, unless there is a proof that comes that points to its prohibition. Without, in the absence of that dalil that clearly indicates this is prohibited, things in worldly matters are all permissible. Things in worldly matters, and the opposite is, as we mentioned last week, in the previous session, the opposite is in reference to religious matters, the opposite is true. Yani, everything is prohibited in worship unless there is a dalil proving its permissibility or that it is legislated. Tayyib, question number 8 mentioned four descriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which should be considered with his statement, every innovation is bid'ah. Is bid'ah. Yani, kullu bid'atin. I'm sorry, that every innovation is bid'ah. Naam. Every, yani, muhdatha, kullu muhdatha bid'at. وكل بدعة ضلالة. يعني when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said every يعني newly invented matter is bid'ah and every bid'ah is dalala, what are the things that we should consider in terms of the descriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in reference to this statement? Yani the things that we have to look at when people start saying yeah every but or this or exceptions, what do we have to consider here? Number one, that
he's the most knowledgeable.
That he's the most knowledgeable of what? Of the Sharia of Allah. He's the most knowledgeable. So somebody else comes and saying something else, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's most knowledgeable of the Sharia of Allah, he said kullu bid'at dalala. Naam. Second thing,
advice.
The advice, sincere advice, that he is the most sincere in advising the ibadullah. He's the most sincere of anyone who advises us. There's nobody who's going to give us more sincere advice than him. And the third thing, most eloquent in speech, yani in clarity of speech, bayanan. Yani when he speaks clearly. It's understood what he says. What he means is clear. It's not, well, I don't know what he meant by it. I think he meant that. No, what he speaks clearly. Kullu bid'atin dalala. This is crystal clear speech. There's no ambiguity about what he means. And the fourth description, truthfulness. Asdaquhum. Yani khabaran. He is the most truthful of people. Of all creation, yani the Shaykh said, yani of creation, meaning that we are talking about created beings. We're not talking about Allah. Allah is the most knowledgeable. Allah is the, and so on and so forth. But of the created beings, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most knowledgeable. He's the most sincere. He's the most clear in speech and the most truthful in what he says. And this is what he said. What he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that every yani muhtatha is bid'ah and every bid'ah is dalala. In question number 9, I mentioned three general areas of bid'ah and the worship of Allah due to which a person is considered a mubtadi'un. Yani a person will be considered an innovator if he innovates, comes with something new in the worship of Allah in three general areas the Shaykh mentioned. The first of those areas, what?
Creed.
In aqeedah. If a person brings something new in aqeedah for the worship of Allah, then this person will become considered as a innovator. Naam. And the second general area is? In sayings, in speech, in what they say. And the third general area is in actions. And the last question is, give an example in each one of these areas. Yani, three general areas of bid'ah and the worship of Allah. Give an example in each area. One of them in creed. An example of innovation in creed. Naam.
The Jahmiyyah, they empty the sifat of Allah.
The Jahmiyyah, ta'til sifatillah. That they empty them from a meaning. Yani, they give yani some understanding that removes them from having any meaning. They're just expressions with no real meaning, no reality as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, another example from speech.
From invading specific forms of adhkar.
Adhkar, specific. And he's saying some dhikr. For example, in a way that's not legislated. In the Sharia. Huh?
Thinking that
they're, meaning that they attribute this as being a part of the deen for which Allah will reward them with. Like maybe in a group, people chanting together or individually. Yani, we used to have books a long time ago. Maybe they're still probably available, but we're not seeing them in the places that we frequent, right? Say, Ar-Rahman, 536 times. How did they come up with this number? I don't know. Say, Al-Hakim, yani 2,485 times. And certain things will happen. Yani, based on what? Huh? And things like this. And there's too many of them. Too many of them. And I mentioned last week one, I want to repeat it because I want to emphasize the point of the people, and I heard this myself, the people who said in the adhan, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله وأشهد أن عليا ولي الله. Naam. And there are so many. And we said also in actions, what? In actions. What kind of actions? Naam. Yeah, praying with the hands at the side. Yani, even though there's ikhtilaf in terms of the Maliki, some of the Maliki scholars, some of them claim that this is the madhab of Imam Malik, rahimahullah. But the more meticulous Maliki scholars, who are scholars of hadith, like Ibn Abdul Barr and people like this, they refute this idea that this is the madhab of Imam Malik. And in fact, Imam Malik in his Muwatta has narrated the hadith authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying with his hands, right hand, left hand on his chest, how then can he himself then tell people to pray with your hands on your side? But in any case, more clear, something that's more clear than that. Naam? Going out for 40 days. 40 days or 4 months or whatever, based on what? Like Jamaat al-Tabligh. Okay, you don't have to mention the name. I think it's known. No, it's okay. It's no harm. It's no harm. I mean, it's not from the Sunnah. It's not from the Sunnah. It's clearly not from the Sunnah. Yani, there's no precedent for it in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the time of the companions, that people used to do such a thing. Now, the Prophet sent, he missioned people to go and give da'wah. He missioned people to go out and fight in jihad and so on. But yani, making it as 4 months or 40 days or something like this, and the rest that goes with it, that is sad. Now,
prayer beads.
Naam. And also the prayer beads or dhikr beads or rosary beads, Allahu musta'an. Yani, this is a matter about which there's a difference of opinion. We don't want to go into the details of it now. There are some of the scholars of Sunnah who allow its permissibility, though there's no doubt about it. The Prophet ﷺ never did it. He didn't use it. For sure. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. But in any case, there's a difference of opinion, and we want to be, yani, we want to be, yani, considerate, flexible. Yani, I'm trying to think of a better word, but in any case, no problem. I mean, we don't want to be so hard that we have a position, and anybody who doesn't agree with it, they are definitely astray. Yani, perhaps we're wrong. Yani, some scholars said, yani, ruled its permissibility, and other scholars said it's not permissible. So perhaps the opinion that we have, maybe we're wrong. Not other people are wrong. Sometimes we might be wrong, right? So we want to, yani. Okay, keep this in mind. We took a lot of time for these questions today. May Allah help us. Allahu musta'an. Naam. Okay, so today, our topic for today, we want to go back to reading where we left off at, where the Shaykh begins to talk about the innovation. Al-bid'ah tastalzim mahadir fasida. Yani, that innovation, the practice of innovation, necessitates dangerous evils, dangers, things that we should be cautioned against, and evils that are corrupt. And he mentions a number of things, and then he mentions two shubahat, yani two doubtful matters that cause confusion for some of the people, and he clarifies them by responding to how we explain them. Okay, before that, I want to just quickly mention a couple of quotations from some of the scholars of past and present concerning the definition of bid'ah. Okay, because the Shaykh is going to talk about bid'ah a lot in this topic, yani the evils and dangers of bid'ah, and also he's going to talk about yani how some people may use some yani evidence that yani, they say it's a proof that, you know, not all bid'ah is misguidance. So the Shaykh responds to two of the yani most widespread matters of doubt that the people have concerning this. I'm going to look at them, but before we do that, I just want to quote yani a couple of quotations from some of the scholars, past and present, concerning the definition of bid'ah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in his book Iqtida as-Sirat al-Mustaqim, and there are different printings of it, but in any case, in this particular printing, was in volume 2, pages 95 to 97. He has a lengthy discussion concerning bid'ah in reference to the statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, ni'ma bid'ah tu hadihi. And he says concerning this, yani, what a wonderful or good innovation this is, Umar said, on the occasion of the people, yani, after he commanded them to pray the night prayer in Ramadan behind one imam all together as one jama'ah, and he came and he saw the people following his instruction, and it is reported that he said, "This, you know, this is a good innovation." So some people said, "You see, so there's good innovation, and therefore what we are doing is part of that good innovation." So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he gives a lengthy discussion. I'm not going to read the whole discussion, but I just want to read the definition that he gave of bid'ah in light of this statement, and the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah talks about this particular statement in our discussion tonight. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, هذه tasmiyatun lughawiyya. Yani, this is a name that has been given, yani calling this occurrence, this thing that occurred amongst the people praying together in jama'ah in the night in Ramadan behind one imam. He said that this description of it that was come from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, ni'ma bid'atun hadhihi. He said this is a tasmiya lughawiyya. Yani he means bid'ah in the linguistic meaning, not in the sharia meaning of bid'ah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about in the hadith that every innovation is misguidance. He said he means this in the linguistic way. Okay? And then he says, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْبِدْعَةَ فِي اللُّغَةِ تَعُمُّ كُلَّ مَا فُعِلَ ابْتِدَاءً مِنْ غَيْرِ مِثَالٍ سَابِقٍ. Yani, so bid'ah in Arabic language, in the linguistic meaning, covers generally everything that is newly done without any precedent. Anything that people do for the first time that doesn't have a precedent, they say this is bid'ah. So the first time somebody did something new nobody was doing before, we can say linguistically, this is bid'ah. Okay, like they built a car, there were no cars before, that's bid'ah. But it's not bid'ah in deen. That's what he's saying. That's linguistic meaning of bid'ah. Then he says, وَأَمَّا الْبِدْعَ الشَّرَعِيَّ فَمَا لَمْ يَدُلَّ عَلَيْهِ دَلِيلٌ شَرَعِيٌّ. But what is the bid'ah in the sharia, in the religious sense, that we are talking about in this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that every bid'ah is misguidance? This bid'ah, he said, it is ma lam yadul alayhi dalil shar'i. That which there's no sharia evidence to support it, that points to it, that supports it. Doesn't have a sharia evidence, a legal evidence from Quran and Sunnah, or the sources of Islam, to support it. This is what we mean by the bid'ah shar'iyya. Something that came new, that is claimed to be a part of deen, that people expect to get a reward for from Allah, but it doesn't have any dalil from the sharia to support it. And that's all I will take from here. It's very lengthy what Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says. And then I want to read what Shaykh al-Albani, Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, says in his book dealing with Salat al-Tarawih. On page 50, he says, the saying of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, ni'mat bid'atu hadhihi, yani what a good innovation this is. He said he did not intend, لم يقصد به البدعة بما أنها الشرعي. He didn't mean بدعة in the sharia meaning. That's prohibited, that's misguided. He didn't mean that. الذي, and then he gives a definition of what he means by بدعة, يعني the بدعة in the sharia meaning. الذي هو إحداث شيء في الدين على غير مثال سابق. Yani bringing about something new in the deen, in religious matters, that doesn't have any precedent for it. Yani meaning, there's no evidence came in the Quran or in the Sunnah to support this particular action. Yani bringing about something new, but very importantly, in the deen. So we're talking about in religious matters, not in worldly matters, that doesn't have any precedent. And then he says, and I'll try to quickly go through what he said, but what he intended by this is the bid'ah in one of its linguistic meanings, and that is al-amr al-hadith al-jadid alladhi lam yakun ma'rufan qubayl ijadi. Yani that is a matter which is hadith, jadid, something new which wasn't known before its occurrence, before it came into being. It wasn't known before. Okay, he said this is what Umar intended when he said bid'ah here. He means, yani, something that was new, that hadn't been known before it occurred on this occasion. And he means, and he said, and then he goes on to say, and about which there is no doubt is that the Salatul Taraweeh in a group behind one imam was not known. لم يكن معهودا ولا معمولا زمنا خلافة أبي بكر وشطرا من خلافة عمر. Yani that this prayer, the Taraweeh prayer, in the one jama'ah behind one imam, wasn't something that was known or practiced during the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. For the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq people didn't do this. In the first part of the Khilafah of Umar, people didn't do this. Until that night when he came and ordered the people to do it. And then that they started to do it. Okay? So in that sense he's saying, there's no doubt that this wasn't occurring before that. فَهِيَ بِهَذِي الْاَتِبَارِ حَدِيثًا. Yani, so from this consideration, that it wasn't something that was known to the people, they weren't doing it. All the years of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr, and for the first part of the Khilafah of Umar, people didn't know about this. This wasn't something that was practiced. From that perspective, this was something new. However, لكن بالنظر إلى أنها موافقة لما فعله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهي سنة وليست بدعة. But if you look from the perspective that this was something that was in agreement with what was done by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم during his lifetime, even if it was only on a few nights, if you look at that from that perspective, then from that perspective, this is sunnah. It is not bid'ah. Because it has a precedent in the lifetime of the Prophet. The Prophet led the people in congregational prayer for 3 nights. Or 4. And then he explained why he didn't come out the next night. He said, because I feared that it would become obligatory upon you. Not because this wasn't something good to do, but for fear that Allah may make it obligatory upon you, you will not be able to do it. So he left it for that reason. And then Umar saw that, well, no revelation is coming anymore. It won't become obligatory. So why not go back to it? So the Shaykh, he says, so it is for this reason, yani, that it was in agreement with a practice of the Prophet ﷺ that he abandoned for a particular reason, and that reason no longer existed. For this reason, Umar radiallahu anhu, he refers to it as something good, because it's in agreement with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And finally, I'm going to mention yani a last definition from Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan al-Alama, Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He says in his explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah concerning this expression, yani in the text, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, for every innovation is misguidance. He says, الْبِدْعَةُ لُغَةً. What is the definition of bid'ah? Linguistically, مَا لَيْسَ لَهُ مِثَال سَابِقٍ. That which doesn't have any precedent. Something like it that came before, that it can be established based upon it. مَا لَيْسَ لَهُ مِثَالٌ سَابِقٌ. Doesn't have any precedent. That's the linguistic meaning. So anything that doesn't have a precedent, linguistically it can be called bid'ah. But what is the shar'i meaning? And that's what we're concerned about. مَا لَمْ يَدُلَّ عَلَيْهِ دَلِيلْ شَرَعِي. Like the definition of Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, as though he took it directly from Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah, he said, يعني, I mean not from Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah, from Ittida Sirat Al-Mustaqim, مَا لَمْ يَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ دَلِيلٌ شَرْعِي. يعني that, in the shar'i meaning of bid'ah, it is that which, it doesn't have any legal sharia evidence that points to it or supports it. And therefore the Shaykh says, so everyone who brings something new and then he attributes it to the deen, and if he doesn't say it's religious, it's Islamic, he's just doing something new, we're not concerned about that. But when he attributes it to the deen, he says this is the part of Islam, that this is something that you should do, Allah will reward you for it, that's the problem. He said, كل من أحدث شيئا نسبه إلى الدين. He makes it a part of the Islam. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ الدَّلِيلُ. But it didn't have a dalil from the Quran or Sunnah. فَهُوَ بِبَعَةٌ وَضَلَالَةٌ. Then it is innovation and it is misguidance. سَوَاءً فِي الْعَقِيدَةِ أَوْ فِي الْأَقْوَالَ أَوْ فِي الْأَفْعَالِ. No matter if it is in the yani, creed, the matters of creed, what we believe in, nor whether it's in speech or if it is in actions. Anybody who brings something new and they attribute it to the deen, and it doesn't have a dalil from the sharia, then this is innovation, it is misguidance, no matter if it's in creed, or whether it is in speech, or whether it is in action. And then, and after this, I'm going to go yani, to our text for tonight. Allahu musta'an, na'am. And see what the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah, says concerning the dangers of innovation. وَالْبِدْعَةُ تَسْتَلْزَمْ مَحَاذِرْ فَاسِدَ. Yani many dangerous matters that we should be warned and cautioned against, which are corrupting evil matters, the result of innovation. فَأَوَّلًا, the first of them is that تَسْتَلْزَمْ تَكْذِيب قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْيَوْمِ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَنْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. The Shaykh quotes the part of the ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 3rd ayah. Today I have completed, perfected for you your deen. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today I have completed and perfected for you your deen. Yani the bid'ah, yani the person occupying themselves with bid'ah or practicing an innovation, necessitates that person denying the truthfulness of the saying of Allah that he has completed the deen. How so? لأنه إذا جاء ببدعة جديدة يعتبرها دينا فمقتضاه أن الدين لم يكمل. So whoever brings something new and innovative matter, which he considers it as deen. That's the important part. He considers it as deen, then what is implied by this, the implication then, is that the deen has not been completed and perfected. So I'm bringing this new thing to complete it. So to accept, to recognize innovation, it is the denial of the statement of Allah that He has already completed the deen. So if it's complete and it's perfect, there's no need for anybody to bring anything new. This is a dangerous matter. The second danger, he said, that it also necessitates, yani, defamation or aspiration, or yani, declaring the defectiveness of the Sharia of Allah. Yani, when a person accepts or acknowledges innovation, it is as though they are declaring the Sharia of Allah to be defective. Yani, that it is naqisa. So he completes it, yani, this innovator person, he completes the Sharia of Allah with his innovation. Sharia is not complete, let me bring something new. This is dangerous. He completes it with what? With his innovation. Brothers and sisters, yani, if you reflect on these matters that the Shaykh mentions here, and there are more, in other places he mentioned other things. This is what he mentioned here. If we reflect upon them, then we can see why we should be very serious about trying to avoid innovation. Some people say, oh, you're too strict, you're going to extremes, everything bid'ah, bid'ah, bid'ah. Nam, if it's really bid'ah, then we should be stern and firm. We don't have to be rude. We don't have to be disrespectful to people. We don't have to be harsh. But be firm though. And if we take a stand, we're not bending on this. We're not going to practice something new in our deen that Allah has already perfected. This matter is very serious. Because to accept it and to acknowledge it, to approve of it, to condone it, even if you don't practice it, it is as though you are saying the Sharia of Allah is imperfect. The third thing, he said, it is, yani, criticism of the Muslims themselves who didn't practice this act. The people who didn't do it. It's as though you are declaring them in their practice of Islam to be also defective. Because you are bringing something that you claim to be good, that's rewardable by Allah, and the people before, some people they didn't, whoever didn't do it, then something is wrong with them. So everybody who came before, who didn't, yani, practice this bid'ah, then their deen is naqis, defective. And this is extremely dangerous, especially if that includes who? First and foremost, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and the tabi'un and atba' tabi'in and so on. That their deen is defective. Because we have brought something that made Islam more perfect. The fourth thing he said, that from the implications or the things that are necessitated by the bid'ah, is that al-ghalib, yani, more commonly or mostly or generally speaking, yani, mostly, most of the time, whoever is occupied with an innovation, they will be distracted from a sunnah. Yani, for example, a light example that's very common, if a person becomes occupied after making taslim from the congregational prayer with something other than what the Prophet ﷺ legislated for that, the occupation with this thing will take them away, distract them from the sunnah. So when the person makes taslim from salat, they should be saying, Astaghfirullah, 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 Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. They should be saying what's legislated, not something else. They shouldn't be shaking hands, they shouldn't be saying things, they shouldn't be even dua, raising your hands in dua. It's not legislated after the congregational prayer, after taslim. But rather, as Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen said, one of the points that he made concerning this dua is that if anybody examines, and Shaykh Abdul Razak outlined it in detail in his book Ta'zim al-Salat, if a person examines the salat, they will see that in every position in the prayer there is dua. Yani, from legislated from authentic hadith, in every position in the prayer there is some dua that's legislated. So that is an indication that the best time to make dua is in the salat, not out of the salat. Can a person make salat dua outside? Of course. But the best time to make dua is in the salat. Yani, after the tashahud, before taslim, or in prostration, or in yani any other position, standing, bowing, or whatever. Even though it may be better to make ta'zim of Allah in ruku, but it's permissible to make dua. and so on, like this. So this is an example of how people became occupied with something else instead of being occupied with what Allah has legislated. That means the occupation with the bid'ah caused them to be distracted from the sunnah. And for this reason, the Shaykh, he says that it is like some of the Salaf. They said, مَا أَحْتَثَ قَوْمٌ بِدْعَةً إِلَّا هَدَمُوا مِثْلَهَا مِنَ السُّنَّةِ. That there are no people who invented a new innovation, who brought a new innovation, except that they destroyed the like of it from the sunnah. They destroyed the like of it from the sunnah. The fifth point, the Shaykh says, and that this bid'ah tujibu tafarruq al-ummah, yani bid'ah necessitates the division and separation, splitting up of the ummah of Islam. Because these people of innovation, they believe that they are the people who possess the haqq, ashabul haqq. They believe that they are upon the truth. And whoever is besides them are astray. While the ahlul haqq, the real people of truth, say, you people are astray. And this does what? فَتَفَرَّقَ قُلُوبُهُمْ تَتَفَرَّقَ قُلُوبُهُمْ. So their hearts became divided. Naam. So these are some of the yani tremendous, yani very severe, yani harms or evils. All of them are based upon the fact of yani innovation in and of itself. This is what happens. From innovation in and of itself, it causes these things to occur, these harms, these evils. Along with or in addition to the fact that coupled to the innovation, there's also yani an indication of a person's stupidity, yani that their intellect, there's something wrong with their intellect, and a defect in their deen. Naam. Naam. Yani if the sunnah is clear and people give up the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَيَوْمُ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Yani if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you have an uswa hasana, a good example, a model to be followed in the Messenger of Allah, and a person gives that up and follows something that somebody else made up, whoever they might be, that means there's something wrong with their intellect, their aql, and there's definitely something wrong with their deen. And the Shaykh says, so from this we know that those who divided bid'ah into three or five or six or however many divisions, they have erred. Meaning what? That bid'ah is dalala, all of it. Not some good bid'ah, some bad bid'ah, some in-between bid'ah, other kinds of bid'ah and bid'ah and bid'ah. No, there's just bid'ah dalala. He said, so we know from this, from these evils and harms that come from innovation, that the people who divided into divisions trying to make some bid'ah acceptable, that's the point, right? That they have erred. And their error is from two perspectives. One of the two perspectives. Either one or the other. Either, yani, the description of bid'ah, the shari'i description of bid'ah is not applicable to that which, yani, they themselves are saying this is a good bid'ah. Yani, either the shari'i description of bid'ah is not applicable to that thing, or that bid'ah, which really is a bid'ah, is not good as they claim it. Yani, we mean by this what? That either, like a person says, this is a good bid'ah, then they erred in either one of these two perspectives. Either the thing that they're calling a good bid'ah is not really bid'ah. Either it's not really bid'ah. Or it is bid'ah, but it's not good. Because there's no bid'ah that's good, right? The Prophet ﷺ said all of it is misguidance. So some people might be saying this is bid'ah, and it's really not bid'ah. And it might be good, but it's not bid'ah though. But if it is bid'ah, then it's not good. So either from this perspective or that perspective, they have erred. And then the Shaykh, he says, so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, كل بدعة ضلالة. Every innovation is misguidance. And this word, قل. What is it that allows us to escape from this, يعني, tremendous generalization? I don't want to say generalization. Surah, like offense. يعني, this thing that we are enclosed within. By the word, قل, يعني, it locks us down. You can't get out of it. It's like a fence or a wall that you are locked within. How do you get out of it? When the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu bid'a dalala." How do you get out and find some other bid'ah that's not dalala? You can't get out because this word, right? It locks you in. It locks you down. It encircles. It fences you in to yani that every type of bid'ah is dalala. So how do we get out of it to the extent that we can say that bid'ah is different divisions while all bid'ah is dalala? Now here the Shaykh mentions two shubahat, yani doubtful matters that the people are confused about. The first of them is the saying of Umar ibn Khattab, and the second of them is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to look at both of them. Normally we don't take questions until the end. In my opinion, it would include it. May Allah save us from such. I mean, it's not from the Sunnah, that's clear. I would say, yani, maybe Mahmoud can help us. Barakallahu feekum, ya Mahmoud. What if we agree that when we came to class on Friday, everybody who's able to volunteers to give some sadaqah, so that when we finish the salat, nobody has to go around. Yani, we just make our dhikr and pray our sunnah prayers, and when we get ready to start the class, everybody will already have taken out whatever they want to give, and we'll just quickly, in one half of a minute, we'll just take whatever people want to give and call it a day. We don't have to say sadaqah, 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 fi sabilillah, and a lot of kalam and distract the people from dhikr and dua. If we volunteer to give whatever we want to give, so that nobody has to do that. Like if we say, look, you don't have to do that. We're willing. We're going to give whatever we can give. You don't have to do that. You don't have to disrupt us in our dhikr and dua. And be patient for a minute. When we get ready to start, we'll just take a minute and everybody will just quickly give whatever they have to give. They'll have it ready and waiting for you. I mean, that's a possibility. Let's see if we can do that, maybe. In any case, there are a lot of options that we have. May Allah save us from that which is displeasing to Him. This masjid in particular is in need. There's no Jumu'ah prayer here. So there are no money, there are no funds collected here. Most of the masjids collect most of their money on Jumu'ah. So there's no fund collected. So there's electric bill, there's other bill, there's something, whatever. So, yani, there's a need. So if we're able, yani, let's give freely. Let's give freely. And don't hesitate, give freely so that we don't have to have somebody standing over us with their hand out, with a box out, or a bag, or whatever. Yani? You have to help us, inshallah. We have to know how much do we need, inshallah. Maybe 5 of us or 10 of us, we can just give whatever is needed and then everybody else is free. Allahumma musta'an. Tayyib. The Shaykh, he says, if you say, what is your view concerning the saying of Amirul Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he came out to the people while they were praying, yani in Ramadan in the night, behind one imam in the month of Ramadan, and he said, "Ni'mat al-bid'atu hadhihi." Yani, what do you say about this statement of Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anhu? "Fa'athna alayha wa sammaha bid'ah." Yani, this, he saw the people doing something, he praised it, and he called it bid'ah. So if we want to say there's a good bid'ah, who are you to say otherwise? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he saw some people doing something, he said, "Ni'ma bid'atu hadhihi." The Shaykh says, "Al-Jawab, al-Naqul." We say in response, we look to this quote-unquote bid'ah that has been mentioned, that he mentioned. We look at the action, the thing that took place. And we ask, هل ينطبق عليها وصف البدعة الشرعية أم لا أو لا؟ يعني does the description of bid'ah, the Sharia description, definition of bid'ah, apply to that thing which Umar was witnessing that he called, يعني good bid'ah? Does the Sharia definition of bid'ah apply to it or not? Because if the Sharia definition of bid'ah applies to it, there's no such thing as good bid'ah. If it doesn't apply to it, then there's some other yani thing that he is intending here. He doesn't mean clearly that this is a bid'ah in the deen, an innovation in the deen, and I'm calling it good. That's impossible for Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to have instituted something that he made up in the deen and then he called it good. That's impossible for Umar ibn al-Khattab. Maybe it's possible for Sheikh so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so, but not for Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. In the same way that we said, more so that then it is impossible for Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah to declare a way other than the way of the Prophet to be good. It's impossible. Imam of the people of Sunnah, the Imam of the people of Medina, who narrates from the Prophet something and then he says, do it different, don't do it that way. That's impossible. It's more impossible for Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu to make up something in the deen and then say it's good. That's further yani impossible, more impossible than the first. So the Shaykh says, we look and see, does the Sharia description of bid'ah apply to this thing or not? So when we look, we found that the Sharia definition of bid'ah does not fit it, does not apply to what Umar witnessed there. Indeed, it has been confirmed from the Prophet ﷺ that he performed prayer with his companions in the month of Ramadan on three nights. And then he abandoned that practice khawfan, out of fear that that prayer in the night in congregation will become obligatory upon them. He abandoned it out of fear of this. So it has been confirmed the foundation of the legality of this prayer in the night in Ramadan in congregation has been confirmed from the Prophet ﷺ. And therefore the Sharia description or definition of bid'ah is negated from this action. And it is not possible for us to say that it is bid'ah, that that practice is bid'ah in the deen, and the Rasul ﷺ had performed it. That's impossible. Rather, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he called it bid'ah because the people had abandoned this practice after those three nights in which the Prophet ﷺ led them in prayer. They had abandoned it for years and years and years. During the whole time, the rest of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, they never did it again. During the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, they never did it again. Even during the first period of time of the Khilafah of Umar, they didn't do it. So years went by, and this was something that had been left off, but it was left off for a reason. So the people at now, they were not praying in Jama'ah with one imam. Rather, they were praying divided up into groups, yani one man praying by himself, or two or three people praying, or a small group of people praying in groups, separated, not in one Jama'ah. So when Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu gathered them together with one imam, then their coming together praying in Jama'ah in this way, yani linguistically, could be called something new, yani bid'ah, in the linguistic meaning of bid'ah that we mentioned in the beginning of this session. Yani new in reference to what? What they were upon in the beginning, before that, for years of praying separately. Everybody praying by themselves, or two or three, or in small groups. This was something new in reference to that, yani in comparison to that, yani the division that they were upon in terms of the prayer in the night in Ramadan. So he came out that night, that is Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said, or he came out one night and he said, if I were to gather the people with one imam, this would be better. So he ordered Ubay ibn Khab radiallahu anhu and Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu to lead the people in prayer, in 11 rak'ah of prayer in the night. So they led the people in the prayer with 11 rak'ah, that's what the Shaykh says. And he came out after having commanded them with this on another night, and he saw the people praying like this with one imam, and he said, Ni'ma al-Bid'ah hadihi. What a good bid'ah this is. So, therefore then, this use of the word bid'ah is relative in respect of what? The fact that the people had abandoned this practice for some time and then it was reinstituted, re-established, initiated marratan ukhra, once again. So, this is the perspective from which yani it is called, yani the word bid'ah is used in reference to this, not from the perspective of bid'ah yani according to the Sharia definition of bid'ah, meaning an innovation in the deen that's blameworthy, that's misguidance, that's corruption, that's sin, and that's evil. as far as it being yani innovation in the Sharia way, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu praising it, this is impossible. So from this we know that the speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not contradicted by the speech of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. There is no contradiction between them. Rather, Umar is talking about bid'ah and the linguistic meaning, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about bid'ah, innovation in the religion. Okay, the last shubha, and then we're going to stop with this. The Shaykh, he mentions, what if you say, how can we yani reconcile yani najma, how can كيف تجمع بين هذا وبين قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة. يعني how do we reconcile between our position that all innovation is misguidance and the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم whoever سن في الإسلام يعني whoever يعني initiates يعني something in Islam that is a good sunnah, then he will have the reward of it, and the reward of whoever acts upon it until يوم القيامة. Yani what is the meaning of this hadith? من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة. Yani they said, in other words, somebody can سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, meaning somebody can invent a good sunnah in Islam. Yani this is how some people understood it. That's the doubt that came to them, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying whoever brings a good sunnah, then they will get the reward for it, and the reward of whoever acts upon it to the Yawm al-Qiyamah. But what is the meaning of this hadith? Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana. Yani fil Islam is key word here. Yani in Islam, within the bounds of Islam, sunnatan hasana. Key word here what? That is hasana. And we know that no bid'ah is hasana, but there is sunnah. Yani of course we can say sunnah hasana. Yani something that's from within Islam, and the person is the first to initiate it, then they will have the reward for it, and the reward of those who come after them. And how we know this is from the context of the hadith in which this statement came forth from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So their question is they seem to understand that a person has the right to bring about a good sunnah in Islam, and that this is something confirmed by this hadith. So we say to them, the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani some parts of his speech support and confirm the truthfulness of another. Like the speech of the Prophet does not contradict one another. Yani him saying, yani every innovation is misguidance, and him saying, yani whoever initiates a good sunnah in Islam from within the bounds of Islam, they will have a reward. There's no contradiction between these two sayings. Because indeed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means here by as sunnah al hasana, what he means here is a sunnah al-mashru'a, yani a sunnah that's legislated by the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever initiates that, yani the first one who yani al-mubadara, who hastens to be the first one to do it, and then other people follow him in doing it, then this person has a reward for what he has done, and the reward of everybody who follows him in it. And we understand this from the context of the hadith. The Shaykh says the murad here, the meaning of sunnah, sunnatan hasana, he said it means al-mubadara ila fi'liha, yani the one who is the first to hasten to do it first, and then other people, like if there was a need for some charity, for example, the first person who gave quickly, and then the people who follow that example, he will get the reward for what he has done, and the reward for all those who followed him in it. This is one of the benefits of hastening to do good. Perhaps yani the adhan is called, and you're the first one who gets up and pray two rakat sunnah between the adhan and the iqamah, and then other people see you and they think about, oh yeah, let me pray two rakat. Huh? What do you think about that? Huh? I mean, this is what we should be thinking about. Be the first one to initiate good, so other people could get the idea from you and follow you, not in making up something new, and that which is legislated in Islam. And we have time is at the end, so let me just quickly finish what remains here. The Shaykh, he says, yani it means al-mubadara ila fi'liha, hastening to be the first one to do that legislated deed. It doesn't mean making up something new. As the Shaykh said in another place, it doesn't mean that you legislate something new. Rather, it means يعني لكن من عمل بها أولا. This is not in the book. This is from what the Shaykh said in يعني منهج أهل السنة في العقيدة والعمل. He said it means here not to legislate something new, but it means that you're the first one to do it. And this way, by you being the first one to do it, يكون he will become هو إماما للناس فيها فيكون قدوة خير وحسن فيكون له أجرها وأجر من عمل بها إلى يوم القيامة. Means that if you're the first one to do it, you will be like the imam for the people in that deep thing, because you'll be in front of them. You'll be the first one to hasten to do it, so you'll be like the imam of the people in that action, and therefore you'll be a good example for them, and therefore you'll get the reward for what you have done, the reward of the people who follow you as their imam in doing good until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So it is known from this, yani, or this is known, yani, this understanding of the meaning of this hadith is known from the occasion on which this hadith, yani, occurred, and that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said this to the people at the time when one of the Ansar had brought a big bag of silver coins to give in charity, and he placed it in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time when he had called on his companions to give, yani, and yatabarra'u, yani, to give charity for a group of people that had come to them from the Mudar tribe, and they were wearing some, yani, garments of nimar, yani, garments that have, yani, a certain type of garment, yani, I don't know, some garment that has stripes in it or something like this. Okay, but the point is, these people came and they were in need, they were impoverished, and the Prophet ﷺ called upon his companions to give charity. And these people were from the Kibar al-Arab, yani, the, yani, important Arabs of that time. So when the Prophet ﷺ saw the condition, his face changed, yani, the complexion of his face changed. From what? From, yani, his compassion for the condition of those people. And how many of us, we see people who are in need, and we don't have, it doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect our heart, and therefore it doesn't affect our outward appearance. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said his face, the complexion of his face changed due to what he saw of their condition. So he called on his people to give charity for them. So this man, he was the first one who came with a big bag of money. And some of the scholars in explaining this hadith said it was so big he could barely carry it. A man, he couldn't carry it. What kind of bag of money was he carrying? Huh? He was the first one who came. And then the Prophet ﷺ, upon seeing that man, he said, "Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana, falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamah." In reference to that man, you were the first one who came. And now the people who follow your example, you will get the reward for what you have done, and the reward for all of those who follow you in this kind of deed until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Hadith reported by Imam Muslim. And the closing, and we stop here, yani, the Shaykh says, this is the understanding of this hadith, which is the clearest understanding of it, what's understood from the context of the hadith. And then there are other explanations of this hadith. The Shaykh, he said, or it could be said that what is intended by a sunnah al-hasana is that which people newly introduced as means, wasail, means to yani, to achieve those things that are confirmed in the Sharia, yani, the means to achieve something that's established in the Sharia, like tasneef al-kutub, like writing books, or printing books with a printing press, or building schools and things like this. Yani, what's confirmed in the Sharia is spreading knowledge and teaching, right? So the means to it, like printing books or building schools or other things that are the means to achieve what's legislated in the Sharia, he said this is also a possible meaning of what could be understood from this hadith. Yani, sunnah hasana, meaning that you bring something new that's not a new worship, active worship, but it's a new modern way to help people to do that worship. Yani, that's not contradicted by the Sharia. So we know, in this way we know that, again, the Shaykh, he closes by saying, we know that the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not contradicted. Some of his speech is not contradicted by others, rather it is muttafaq, it is an agreement and accord with one another. Bi aliyannahu alayhi salatu wasalam la yantaqu an al-hawa, yani, like as Allah said in the Quran, he doesn't speak from his desires, yani, just how he feels or what he thinks, but rather it is, yani, wahi yuha, revelation that is revealed. We'll stop here. And pardon me for going, yani, a little bit lengthy tonight. And in the next part of this chapter, yani, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah talks about a second topic that's related to the previous topic, second paragraph that we should also start memorizing, where he says, yani, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they also know that the most truthful of speech is the Book of Allah, is the speech of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore they give precedence to the Book of Allah over the speech of anyone else, and they give precedence to the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the guidance of anyone else, and for this reason they are called Ahlul Kitabi wa Sunnah. This is the next paragraph of this chapter, inshallah, that we'll begin to talk about next week. Please, let's start memorizing. The young people have no excuse. As far as the people that's past, yani, I won't say 50, maybe 60, yani, whoever's past 60, naam, we have excuse. We have excuse. But even we should try to memorize. Naam, let's memorize. Everybody, young people, please, don't make any excuse for yourself. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك